So you may hear baby sounds, but they're all music to my ears. So.
Okay, we're rolling.
All right, very good. Thank you. Pastor Earl, know the name of your church?
I'm not pastoring right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm just directing Open Arms, but I work on the OMC and Ooster as well, both interfaith groups.
Okay. And your last name?
Nunes, N-U-N-E-S.
Nunes. Okay, I just want to make sure I pronounce it correctly.
Thank you.
All right, if we're ready, then we will begin. A very good evening to you, and welcome to this April 5th edition of Orrville City Council regular meeting. And we will begin our meeting tonight in prayer with Pastor Geraldo Nunes. Pastor?
Well, thanks for the honor to have this prayer. I just would like to say quick the importance for us of last weekend when Jesus, for us, mean that he resurrected and for our sins and to give us eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this men and women that are working for the city of Orrville. Lord, I just ask that you give them and help them this evening with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that everything that they will say, that you will decide, will be for the good of our community, Lord. I just ask that you be with them, with their family, and this meeting will be a success, and a lot of good things will come for the city of Orrville. Thanks for your son that he died for us to give us eternal life. Everything I pray and I ask in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thanks so much for being here with us tonight, and especially thank you for your heart and for your service to our community and to the many people in our area. We very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Salam.
Very good. All right. Then we will continue then with the Pledge of Allegiance. And let me turn our attention to there. And if you'll repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. And if the clerk will please call the roll.
Handwerk.
Here.
Asparis.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Foy.
Here.
Widmer.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. You should have received a copy of the minutes of our March 15th meeting. And if I could have a motion to approve those minutes.
Mr. President, I'll move that the minutes of the March 15th meeting be approved.
Thank you. Mr. Larson moves.
Second.
And second, Mr. Wilson. Thank you.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
All right, thank you very much. We have no public comments scheduled for this evening, and so we'll move then in our agenda to our standing committee reports. And we begin with our Parks and Recreation Committee, who is led by Mr. Handwerk. Good evening, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Parks and Rec Committee has not met, therefore I have no report. I will say, though, there are a lot of projects coming our way, as we've discussed, and some of those are already underway at the park. So I believe Mr. Wheeler has some legislation or some discussion later tonight that we'll discuss on the basketball courts as well.
All right, very good. If I could ask you a quick question, Mr. Hanwerk, we see some cones that are out there and some dirt has been moved. Can you just maybe refresh us for those who may be joining us here or may not be familiar, what's happening right there at that corner there?
So the corner you're referring to, I believe, is Hall Street. That is part of the Gateway Project. We are excited. Actually, in about 2 weeks here, we're looking to have most of those pavers down and put in place. There are benches that will be here roughly the end of April, and those will be put in as well. That will conclude that first initial phase of the pathway there. And then at the end of the summer, you'll start to see the earth mounds being put in, some landscaping. And those are being held off until after the 4th of July, just due to safety and all the things that come with it.
Okay. Well, very good. We thank you for the work you're doing behind the scenes on that with the committee that's handling that. So thanks very much. We'll move then to our Utilities Committee led by Mrs. Foy. Good evening.
Hi, good evening, Mr. President. The Utilities Committee has not met. I have no report tonight.
All right. Thanks very much. And our Ordinance and Personnel Committee led by Mr. Lorson. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has not met. Therefore, I have no report.
All right. Thank you, sir. Our Transportation Committee is led by Mr. Mosley. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. President. Thank you. Transportation Committee has not met. I just have a few things for the sake of communication. One, there's two pieces of legislation that Mr. Wheeler will talk about this evening, Resolution 1321 and 1421. If I have definitely done my due diligence on both of those items, and for the sake of keeping things moving with all the products that we have coming up, I would like to see those go by, pass this evening, as long as council doesn't have any questions with that. Another thing, for sake of communication, I have been working and meeting with Mr. Hanwerk, C.J. Hanwerk, with Turning Point to try to figure out what we could do about the drug issue that we have in town. Right now, probably I'd say within the next couple weeks, I still need to go through the strings of communication, talk with the mayor, talk to Steve Wheeler, but I'm partnering with Turning Point to really adopt some sort of community education to bring to our community. These are things that's always been here in the community. However, we've kind of decided that the communication and the marketing aspect of it is kind of weak. So I say in probably about a couple weeks, I'll be looking to bring something to council to adopt this between us and the city. It'll be a well laid out plan. Like I said, I just have to get in front of the mayor and get it in front of Steve Wheeler to move forward with that. So that'll definitely be there. Another thing is I would like to compliment the city. I know right now you guys are getting and preparing yourself to take on a lot of projects. That definitely council has definitely brought on, as well as some project that you guys have. I know that there's a couple, people that's preparing or taking a lot of vacation because they know that family time is not going to be, it's not going to be, I say, doable when all these projects start. So I'd just like to encourage, council to just kind of check in with them. Check in with Steve, check in with the engineer, the streets department, and just see how they're doing, because they're definitely preparing for a lot of work and a lot of projects all at once this summer. With that, Mr. President, I have nothing else.
Very good. That's good to hear with the Turning Point Coalition. Appreciate you members who are getting involved with that. It's those kinds of partnerships that has made our community strong, and with organizations working together. So I'm sure they're very glad to hear of your and Mr. Handwerk's involvement with that, and I'm sure other people on council will be able to be involved as well. So it's a great project, and I would thank you for your initiative there, and hopefully that will continue to shine some additional attention that this area needs, and provide that kind of exposure, and hopefully will make a difference in our community. So thank you. All right, then we'll move on to our Health and Safety Committee. Mr. Espiras, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Safety has not met, and therefore I have no report for tonight, sir.
All right, thank you. And then Mrs. Whitmer leads our Planning Committee. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Planning has not met, so I have no report.
All right, thank you. And then our Finance Committee is led by Mr. Wilson. Good evening.
Hello, Mr. President.
Finance Committee has not met. I have no report. We are just breathlessly awaiting Mrs. Strimlin's report tonight.
That's right. She is the star of the show tonight, and we are all eager to hear what she has to say. So thank you. Very good. No special committee reports this evening, and so then we'll continue with our administrative reports, and we begin with our mayor, Mayor Handwerk.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I think Ms. Strimlin just left the building after what she did.
Well, we knew that she doesn't like all the attention, so
yeah, we'll get her right out of this.
Yeah.
She'll do fine. Mm-hmm. Wanted to just mention that Earth Day is coming up April 22nd, and in years past, we have tried to coordinate kind of a citywide cleanup in neighborhoods and parks and so forth around that time. So would still like to encourage neighborhoods, families, individuals, Ronnie groups, Cub Scouts, whoever wants to, church groups, if they want to pick a location and help clean up litter from the past winter. I know right now we have the park and the Lions Club planning to work together to do some cleanup at the park, and also hope to extend that over to the Rails to Trails pathway through the Blackwell Williams property. My wife and I walked through there yesterday, and I was really disappointed at some of the stuff I saw, partly back in the weeds, where apparently people have been drinking and stuff back there and just throwing cans, and it's a shame. So we'll get that picked up and cleaned up, and I know our police are going to be extra careful watching for that sort of thing from this point on. So hopefully we can get some help from a lot of our residents to get everything cleaned up for this summer. Also wanted to mention one of the things that we did with the CARES Act money from the government this winter with our City Hall renovation down here was to install the touchless water fountains. Not so much that you would drink out of them like you would a traditional drinking fountain, but more or less to use to fill up water bottles instead of always bringing in new plastic bottles. Interesting point that each one of those, we installed three of those, two downstairs and one upstairs. They have a counter on there, so you can see how many plastic bottles have been saved since December. And so I looked at the counters on there this morning, and the one downstairs in one hallway has saved 217 bottles, the other one 442, and then the third one upstairs, 909 plastic bottles saved. So the upstairs wins the award for drinking the most water, I guess, and also saving the most plastic. So, you know, just think what the country could do all over if a lot of people did that same thing. Now we're talking 1,568 bottles saved since December. So nice to see that. Just one of those things that we were able to do with the CARES Act money. So that's all I have. Thank you.
All right, very good. We'll move on to our Safety Service Director. Mr. Wheeler, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Service Department is working on basin repairs and prepping ball fields for the season. The Compost Center is now open. It opened Saturday for the first day of the season. It's open on Wednesdays from 7:30 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. to 3:15 p.m. And then it's also open every Saturday from 8 a.m. to noon. The contractor, as Mr. Hanward mentioned, some work has started at the park. The painting contractor has started painting Ream Pavilion, and you can already see the progress they're making. It's already looking very nice. And also, next week is National Telecommunication Week. So we wanted to take this opportunity to recognize what a great job the WARCOG dispatchers do for not only Oroville, but the city of Worcester, city of Ashland, and the village of Kidron. And that's my report for tonight.
All right. Thank you very much. Our Utilities Director, Mr. Brenniger, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. President. Thank you. Just a couple of informational items. It seems like a turn of every calendar, there's also a new holiday or a new event. April is National Safe Digging Month. As we move into spring, there are many new projects on a lot of people's lists. So we do ask and to remind all of our customers to call 811 before you dig anywhere in your yard. If you forget that number, just call the utility office. We'll give that to you again. We use a contractor to find all those utility locates. When you call that one number, it not only serves to locate all the potential underground utilities, but that would also include cable and phone. We do ask that you allow 48 hours for that to do take place. And remember, it is ultimately it's really for your own safety and your liability. If you dig into someone's lines, whether it's the utility lines or phone lines, you could be liable for that. Want to just be everybody aware and cognizant of spring projects and digging holes, and please call that 811 number. The other item, last month during our National Association American Public Powers virtual technical conference, Orville Utilities won what they call a RP3 safety award. This safety award focuses on four disciplines: reliability, safety, workforce development, and system improvement. It includes sound business practices and the utility's citywide commitment to safe and reliable delivery of electricity. Orville Utilities was one of 274 public power communities in the country out of 2,000 that received this award. So this just isn't arbitrarily given out. There's a lot of work and a lot of effort that go into that. And, you know, we're very proud of our distribution and our power plant personnel for staying on top of that. This award we have received several years. It lasts for roughly 3 years. The last item, if you were traveling on High Street today, there was some traffic redirection going on. There was a pole damaged at the at High Street and the railroad crossing next to Dairy Queen. This was not our line. We were unable to get a hold of the railroad company or the cable company that owned that line over the weekend to repair it. So we took it on ourselves to take care of that out of safety concerns. It was in danger of losing that pole and getting caught due to low clearance. So we'll eventually one of those utility companies will get back in touch with us. In the meantime, we'll turn it into our insurance company, and hopefully the rightful owner will step up and reimburse us for repairs of that. Other than that, Mr. President, that would conclude my report for tonight. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And then we will turn to our finance director, Ms. Strimlin. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President. In case you haven't heard, we have been notified that the City of Orville will be receiving $1.65 million from the American Rescue Plan. We're scheduled to receive half the funding very soon and the remainder 1 year from now. All of the spending will need to be completed by December 31st, 2024, so we are given a little bit more time than we were with the CARES funding. We are evaluating the guidance on permissible expenditures. Initial impressions are, though, that the funding will not be as restrictive as the CARES funding, but we're still looking into all of that. We'll be working on preparing a plan to try to prioritize needs. We'll probably get council involved with that at some point. And as soon as we get more information, we will get back to you. I also wanted to make a comment about income tax filings. The IRS has extended the federal tax filing deadline to May 17th. We do follow the federal deadline, so City of Orville tax returns will not be due until May 17th as well. If anyone has any questions about filing their income tax return, they can call Dave Nussbaum, our income tax administrator. He's very knowledgeable with completing tax returns and tax laws, and he'll be more than happy to help anyone with any questions they might have. That's all I have this evening.
All right. Thank you very much. And then we'll move on to our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
All right, thank you. Then for my report, the law director and myself are working together to put together our agenda and our method for proceeding through the charter review process that begins next Monday. It'll be here on Zoom at 7 o'clock, and I have sent out the link to that to those who are participating in that process. So we'll look forward to working together on that. We do feel like we've got some changes that we need to make. Most of those are pretty minor, but I have sent out an email to members of the administration and the council to review the charter. And if you have any thoughts or ideas of concepts or things you would like to discuss, go ahead and drop a line to myself or to the law director, and we will present that then to the Charter Review Committee as we work through the charter. Again, beginning next Monday at 7 o'clock, and a link has been distributed, but if you need that again or something, just let me know. We've had some questions about whether or not we'll have fireworks or not, and I would check in first to see, has any additional discussion or decision been made on that as of yet? Whoever would like to answer.
I'm assuming Mr. Wheeler will.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, my mute button froze there for a minute. They are actually meeting tonight to discuss some more regarding the fireworks and the festival and the carnival, particularly tonight. I'm not sure if you had seen the governor's announcement earlier, but that obviously is going to play a factor in their decision. But at this point, I believe they're strongly wanting to move forward with a typical 4th of July celebration. It's just a matter of figuring out the logistics and whether or not that's going to be doable, even with the, you know, with the mask requirement and this social distancing requirement. So I am cautiously optimistic, but I'll probably know more as soon as, you know, tomorrow or in the next couple of days.
All right, very good. Appreciate that update. And just encourage us to work together. Of course, it may not look normal, it may not be normal as we have come to know it, but let's have a cooperative spirit and do whatever we need to do in order to be able to put this on.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but before you moved on, just to add to that, I was going to mention in my report, and I forgot, one event coming up before the 4th of July would be Memorial Day service. Jason Lax and I have been in contact for several weeks now about whether or not we're going to have it. And due to that announcement today, I think we can probably plan on a pretty normal Memorial Day service. I don't think we're sure yet about the processional through town, but I think we'll be able to have the ceremony at the 7th Cemetery.
All right. Very good. Another good development. We appreciate your work on that. I was just saying, you know, let's just cooperate with whatever the guidelines are and be an example of how to be able to put on a public event like this so that we can be able to enjoy these community events as we have before. We do see vaccinations increasing, but at the same time, cases are also trending upward. And it seems like most of those cases are younger people. I was speaking with a healthcare worker last week who said that she contracted COVID early on during the outbreak and then got it again in January. And so let's keep in mind, those are the people that are affected when we, you know, aren't careful and can contract this and need access to the healthcare system. We're also, putting them at stake too. So if we can follow some of these simple guidelines, then we can successfully have these community events again. So anyway, we appreciate your cooperation, and just want everybody to know we're doing everything we can to be able to conduct these events safely. All right, then, very good. That's all that I have. And so we can then proceed in our agenda to old business, which we have done tonight. And so then our next item would be new business. So we will begin by turning to Mr. Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 1321, I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Mosley seconds.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson. Wilson.
You're muted, Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Very good. Thank you.
Resolution 1321. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to advertise for bids and enter into a contract and or contracts for the OPWC 2021 Asphalt Street Resurfacing Project in the city of Orrville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Very good. We'll turn to Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. The engineering is getting close to done for the OPWC projects. We'd love to move forward with going out for bids, and this legislation would allow us to do so. Just a reminder that though we can go out to bids as soon as the engineering is completed, we cannot start the work until at least after July 1st, once we have the contract documents from the OPWC for the $500,000 grant. So you won't see any of the OPWC project actually begin until July, but we'd love to be able to go out for bid and hopefully have a contractor lined up and ready to go once we have the okay from the state.
Very good. We often get that question, hey, how come you waited so long to begin? It's because our work has to align with the state's fiscal year, which begins July 1st. That's when the money is released for us to proceed.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions or comments on this? All right, very good. Mr. Larson.
Because time is of the essence here, and the sooner we get in line for bids, the better off we are, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Mosley seconds.
All right, second, Mr. Mosley.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
I move resolution 1321 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second. Mr. Handwerk.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Very good. Thank you. And we'll continue, Mr. Larson. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. Resolution 1421. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Mosley seconds.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
Resolution 1421. A resolution authorizing participation in the ODOT road salt contracts awarded in 2021 for road salt for the city of Orrville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
All right. We don't want to be talking about any more road salt for this year, but we'll let Mr. Wheeler explain why this topic is coming up right now.
Thank you, Mr. President. As we conclude one winter, we prepare for the next, unfortunately. State typically goes out for bids for road salt for the upcoming winter season sometime in the spring here. So they need a commitment from us in regards to participating in the contract with them. They actually need it within the next couple of weeks. So we don't get a whole lot of time to move forward with this, but I would request approval tonight if possible so that we can get the electronic form signed that they require and submit the resolution.
Mr. President?
Yes, Mr. Mosley.
I will tell you, just speaking from experience, if we were not part of this program this year, we would have paid $110 per ton. Instead, this year, I believe we paid $57
yes, sir.
Per ton. Prices are going up every year, and I know that from experience. Last year, I believe it was $97. And like I said, I personally paid $110 a ton. So I think the state definitely is very competitive from what it, you know, from last year's experience.
Very good. Mr. Mosley needs to start his own municipality, and he can join in with the those good prices. So, all right, any other questions or comments? All right, very good, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Regarding the timeliness of getting in on this bid and the value it brings to our citizens, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
I second.
Second, Mrs. Whitmer.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Aspiris.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Whitmer.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
I move Resolution 1421 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Aspiris.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Whitmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
Resolution 1521. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second. Who was that? Oh, Mr. Handwerk. Thank you.
Yes.
Aspiris.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Whitmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Resolution 1521. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into a contract with Basco Sports Contractors through the National Cooperative Purchasing Alliance for the Orr Park Basketball Court resurfacing and declaring an emergency.
All right, thank you very much. I believe this is another instance where we can join in and get better pricing, but we'll let Mr. Wheeler explain.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, Matt, we awarded the tennis court kind of renovation project to Basco Sports Contractors. As we were meeting with them preparing for that project, we asked them to give us an estimate for what the resurfacing of the basketball court would cost for 2022. So that we could kind of plan ahead and have it ready for the budget for next year. And at that point, they said, well, for $15,000, we'll do it this year. And so at that point, we thought, well, that seemed too good to be true, so we better jump on that. So I bring the legislation to you. It'll end up being probably closer to $17,000. Dan is having them do a little bit extra work to make sure that it serves us for the lifespan we would like. So, but it really gives an opportunity to get a bunch done in the park this year between the tennis courts and the basketball court. So we're excited about the possibility. They are scheduled to start the end of this month on the basketball, on the tennis court. So if possible, it'd be great if we could approve this tonight if council decided to move forward.
Very good. Yes, Mr. Mosley.
Yes. Do we know how long the basketball courts and tennis courts will be down? About how long it takes for completion of the project?
The tennis court is a much larger project. They were saying it's going to be 4 to 5 weeks. They're going to have some curing time in there is why some of that will have to occur. The basketball court is just a resurfacing and relining project. So week to 2 weeks, I would say.
About a month and a half-ish.
Between the two, I would say a month and a half, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right, yes, Mr. Larson.
Mr. Wheeler, I understand that it's probably mobilization costs where our big savings come from on this project. Do you have any idea how much we could potentially save doing it this year rather than next year and having to pay mobilization again.
Yeah, Mr. Lau, the engineering tech, he estimated that we would probably see a $10,000 to $15,000 savings.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, Mr. Lorson, we proceed.
I think that the writing's on the wall here for another great opportunity for us to save and bring something new and improved to the citizens. The fact that we're able to do this a year ahead of schedule and save, by my math, about 40% is a great opportunity. Therefore, I move that the rules, regulations, and requirements for reading a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second. Second, Mr. Handwerk.
Lorson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you.
I move resolution 1521 be adopted as read.
Second. Second, Mr. Handwerk.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Lorson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you. All right. Well, that concludes our new business then for this evening. And we'll move on then to our annual report for the finance department. And we have with us our director, Janet Strimlin. Ms. Strimlin, will you take it away?
Sure, thanks. I need you to allow me to screen share.
Yeah. All right, how about now? Okay, I have to move to multiple. We're going to have this problem again. Okay, I have multiple participants to share. Who can share? All participants. Who can share? Now, why does this work sometimes?
Mine show a share screen at the bottom.
Okay. Yeah, you don't have a share screen button though, huh, Janet?
Well, it says I'm restricted.
Huh. I don't know why that is. Some people have been able to share and others haven't, and it's the same setting. Yeah, because I have mine set to multiple participants can share simultaneously.
Interesting.
And all participants can share. So I don't know what else I can do here on my end.
Mine is showing share screen share also.
Okay.
Wow, that's interesting.
All right. Well, I do have your presentation here. You can talk me through, perhaps. If that would work for you, I guess it's the only option.
Yeah, I won't try.
Okay. All right, well, let me see if I can get this going here. All right. And then this is taking over my whole computer now, so hang on. Okay, let me share. Okay, can we see that?
I can.
Okay.
I'll just tell you when to change slides.
Yeah, we'll probably just have to do it that way.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to go over the Finance Department's annual report for 2020. Just to provide a little background, the Finance Department handles virtually all of general ledger activity, accounts payable and receivable, utility billing, payroll, fixed assets, We also handle investments for the city, and we administer the municipal income tax. Similar to other government entities, we do use fund accounting to keep all of our money segregated. Orville does have 42 funds. The focus of this presentation will be on the general, capital, and utility funds. We'll briefly touch on some other areas that are noteworthy, but we'll spend the majority of our time with those. If you could go to the first slide then, Paul. This shows all of our governmental funds. This is a format very similar to the fund balance report that council receives on a monthly basis. Keep in mind as we're going through the report that these in 2020 may look a bit skewed in a number of areas due to COVID. In most cases, expenses were down. There were a few areas where we did experience a reduction in revenue, so these may look a bit odd. The general fund at the top supports the day-to-day operations of the city. We'll come back to that in just a few minutes. Also listed on this page are 11 additional special revenue funds. Looking over those, you can see that the majority had positive net income. There were a few that did have negative, and I want to go over just a few of those. But I want to make a comment first about that negative net income. In any one year, it may be completely appropriate for expenditures to exceed revenue. It means we're planning a deficit, and we're looking at it as an investment of the accumulated reserves for a project for the benefit of the city. So the gas tax MVL had negative net income, a little over $16,000. Revenue here comes from our gasoline tax and also portion of your motor vehicle registration fees. The expenditures for that fund are restricted for maintenance of specific streets within the city. Revenue not cover all of 2020 expenses for street maintenance. It's not uncommon for this to happen. We cover street maintenance in either this fund, the general fund, or the capital fund. Looking down at both the State Highway Improvement Fund and also the permissive fee funds, revenue from these, again, comes from gas license tax and motor vehicle license fees, another portion. Between the two funds, we spent $148,000 on the High Street project. Total revenue was $87,000, so we used some of that carryover balance. This is one of those instances where we made a conscious decision to spend down some of the fund balance. So this deficit was acceptable, was expected, and it is acceptable. Moving further down the page to the CPG fund, this fund shows some training for the police officers. Revenue comes from the state. In 2020, we did not receive any funding, but we did continue with the training and spent about $2,200. This was virtual training. It's very important to the officers. I understand they can do it on demand, and so it works well with their schedules. The next slide, Paul. At the top, we have our new COVID fund that was set up last year. We had some money left that was encumbered at year end, so that's what the balance of $190,000 is. We made those payments shortly after the first of the year. We also have the Blumen Orville Fund on this page. Despite the pandemic, we talked about it internally. We decided it was important to continue the program just as it had been in years past. Donations were down, though, again, most likely due to the pandemic. So overall, we did end up with a $500 deficit, better than what we expected. And we're going to continue on with that program despite the deficiencies that we might have. There's nothing else to report on any of the other funds on this page, so we'll move forward and talk a little bit more about the general fund. This, again, is the main operating account for city services. We had positive net income of $1.165 million last year. If we take a closer look at the revenues on this page, you'll see they were $75,000 less than 2019. We don't like to see a reduction in revenue, particularly in the general fund, but given what we experienced in 2020, we're pleased with the financial outcome. Many cities were not as fortunate. The driver for the reduction in income tax was our business at profit tax. I'll talk about that more in a few minutes. Looking at property tax, we're up slightly. Again, we're very pleased that this area of revenue did not decline. Early in 2020, we were uncertain if the pandemic would impact property tax payments with all the shutdowns. Fortunately, though, that didn't happen. Our intergovernmental was up slightly. We did receive a little extra funding from the state due to the pandemic. Charges for services was down $57,000. The majority of that is related to COVID. When you compare revenue from 2019, $43,000 of this decline was due to the pool being open for just a limited number of days. The attendance was also restricted to a fraction of the visitors that we normally see, and the concession stand wasn't open. So the lost revenue is certainly reflected there in charges for services. Fees and other items were up $100,000. This is due to the Bureau of Workers' Comp refunding all of the premium that we paid in 2019, again, due to COVID. Lodging tax, again, we increased here. That's pretty self-explanatory. Hotel capacity in 2020 saw a sharp decline, and we were no exception to that. The next slide, we're just trying to look at revenues sources a little differently. As I mentioned, the primary revenue source is city income tax, which accounted for 77% of total revenue for our general fund. If we break that down further, you can see that 70% comes from our withholding tax. We collected a little over $5 million, so that was up 2.9%. 27% comes from our business net profit tax. That was down about $261,000. And finally, our individual income tax was up 0.5%. So moving on to the next slide, we can see the historical general fund revenues, income tax. I've also broken down the sources of that income tax. The withholding, again, was up, you can see, from 67 to 70%. That was a pleasant surprise for us, given the stay-at-home orders and the businesses that shut down. So by and large, what that tells us is people in Orville were continuing to work at facilities. Business tax, again, was down slightly. Property tax, that is the orange block that fluctuates between 7 and 8%. Our intergovernmental, the yellow block, is at 5%. Although it looks fairly consistent here, it's worth noting that if you go back to 2010 timeframe, this category averaged about 10%. Unfortunately, though, with the state's reduction in local government funding and they eliminated inheritance tax and tangible personal property tax, this area of revenue has been cut in half, and we're expecting further reductions in the years to come. Charges for services, our green block, is consistent. Fines, permits, and other, the red block, was higher than average in 2017 and also 2018. This is due to the sale of land in our industrial parks. But other than that, we do remain pretty consistent. If you go on to the next slide, we'll take a look at expenditures. This shows general fund expenditures for 3 years. Last year, expenditures were $5.5 million. Overall, our expenses here were down 9.5%. Police and fire expenses were down because we were able to use CARES funding to cover payroll expenses. You'll be able to view that payroll that was recorded in the COVID fund. So in total, we saved about $206,000 in general fund payroll costs thanks to the CARES Act funding. The streets, cemetery, parks, and pools, our expenditures were down there compared to previous years because of our limited summer staffing. City council, mayor's office, those increases are due to the pay changes for elected officials. And moving on to the next page, similar to the revenue slide, this pie chart lets you look at expenses a little differently. You can see that 47% of general fund expenses are driven by the police and fire, 17% for the streets, followed by the cemetery, parks, and pools at 8, City Council, City Hall, and the Mayor's Office at 6%. The next slide shows total spending by department for 2013 through 2020. When we look at the trends, all the departments are fairly consistent, with the exception of the retirement of our debt service for the second industrial park in 2015, and that's shown in the light orange block. The next slide, finally, for the general fund, this is a recap of our revenue compared to expenditures for the last 5 years, and we also have the ending fund balances included there. The only year in recent history when expenditures exceeded revenue was in 2015. Again, that was a conscious decision to retire our industrial park debt, which was interest-bearing at 5%. So when we had the money available, we went ahead and paid that off. The next slide, we're moving back to the fund balance report again, going through the various groupings of funds. This is for the capital funds. Net income from the capital improvement fund is due to not being able to complete all the projects that we had initially anticipated we would be able to accomplish last year. And just as a side note, park improvement fund, that positive net income of a little over $1,000 is due to a few donations that we received from council members for a potential skate park. Moving on to the next slide. Shows revenue for 3 years for the capital improvement fund. Income tax was down slightly. It's logical since we saw a decline in income tax in the general fund. If you remember, income tax revenue is split, 70% going to the general fund and 30% to the capital fund. Grant receipts were down in 2020 when compared to 2019, but you know, keep in mind that that's directly related to projects that we have planned. The next slide shows historical revenue into the capital fund. Grants, the green block, can vary from year to year. Blue is our income tax. 2014 looks a bit skewed due to council's decision to change the income tax allocation. We changed that from 20% to 30%. And that year, council also approved a $500,000 transfer that was made from the general fund to the capital fund. So looks a bit off there. The next slide shows the areas of capital spending. Mr. Wheeler went over the projects in his annual report, but I wanted to give you a look at the focus areas for capital expenditures in terms of dollars. The majority of the projects have been for street repairs in recent years. You can see that in gray. It's been the focus area of council. Some other anomalies, the large percentage in the park in 2016, that's shown in yellow, was for our rails to trails. The large expenditures in 2020 at 24%, again in the yellow block, in the cemetery, parks, and pools. This is for a couple things that we did last year. We worked on the bike trail, also new parking lot at Orr Park, and the pickleball court expenses are included there. The next slide shows our proprietary funds. This includes all of our utilities and also our internal service funds. Wastewater across all funds had positive net income of $480,000. Electric across all funds had positive net income of almost $3 million, and water had positive net income of $800,000. On the next slide, we'll see our internal service funds. This includes our employee health insurance as well as our expending account. Moving on to the next slide. We'll look at each of the utilities separately. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this since the utility director will be covering utilities in his annual report at the next meeting. Looking at electric revenue, you'll see that we had a $1.3 million decrease. Again, this is due to the pandemic, a decline in usage for commercial and industrial customers. Moving on to the next slide. Expenditures for the electric increased $251,000. You see, there's really being driven by the reserve funds, and that is due to the purchase of our three diesel generators at the end of the year. Those were paid for from the electric utility reserve. The next slide breaks out expenditures that we just reviewed. As you can see, purchase power accounts for 94% of the materials and supplies. Our new operating restraints are certainly reflected here with those purchase power expenses. The next slide shows a comparison of revenues and expenditures for the last 8 years. Again, revenues exceeded expenditures in all of the years, so that's a good thing. Moving on to water. Water revenue has decreased. This is coming from the other income category. This is due to a $370,000 grant that was received in 2019 for a project that was completed that same year, and we did not receive any additional grant funding in 2020. The next slide shows expenditures for the water utility. They did decrease $871,000. Again, this is due to the completion of capital projects. You can see it's all being driven by the reserve funds. We didn't have the same level of project spending in 2020. The next slide, we'll look again at areas that contribute to expenditures for water. You can see the majority of expenses are related to personnel, which would affect it as a service utility or service entity. You also see that 13% of expenditures are for debt service. As I mentioned in our final appropriation meeting, interest-bearing debt will be paid off in 2021. At that point, the only debt remaining will be our zero-interest OPWC loans in the amount of $350,000. On the next slide, we have the comparison of revenue and expenses. The only year that was an anomaly, 2016, our expenses slightly exceeded revenues. Again, though, this was a planned expense. We made extra payments on our water notes in hopes that we could pay off that debt in 2018, which we were able to do. On the next slide, we have our wastewater. Revenues increased $90,000. Just like the water utility, this is to be expected with the rate increase that we have. Those extra monies are being utilized to fund some necessary capital projects that have already occurred or are scheduled to occur in the coming years. The next slide has our recap of expenditures for the wastewater. Again, wages and benefits, it's a service utility. I think we got ahead of ourselves for a minute there, Paul. I'll just stay. It's okay, go back. I got ahead of myself. Expenditures were $42,000 less. This again was driven by capital projects similar to the water utility. We didn't spend near as much in capital projects in 2020 as we did 2019. Now we can go on to the next page there. Again, the main source of expenditures, personnel, wages, and benefits, because they're providing a service. The next slide, we can compare revenues and expenses for the wastewater. You can see that in 2015 and 16, we did have some capital needs that we had to attend to there. That was corrected, or that deficiency was corrected when we had the rate change in 2017. The next slide, this is the last set of funds. These are our debt service, our assessments, and also our fiduciary funds. We also have our total fund balances. Over all the funds, we had positive net income of $6.8 million, and total fund balances were $80.5 million. The next slide shows our debt. Just talk briefly about this. We have a seven-year history here. At the present, the city or the tax-supported side has $396,000 of debt. This is a zero-interest OPWC loan that was taken out several years ago for our street repairs. The water utility has the remainder of the debt. The refunding revenue bonds that you see there at $675 will be paid off in 2022. We have $230,000 set aside in our bond reserve fund. So our final payment from the water revenue fund will be $110,000 next year. And then all that will be remaining is our zero interest obligations. So in total, we had a little over $1.3 million in debt. This pie chart simply shows the debt. The green is for the water utility. The blue is for the tax-supported side, along with the interest rate and the anticipated payoff. This slide shows our investments. We did have the presentation in February by a representative from Meter, so just want to go over it quickly. At the year end, 2020, we did have $49.5 million invested, and we like to see that it's increasing each year. And that is all I have for this evening, unless anyone has any questions.
I do have a quick question.
Okay.
Mrs. Strimlin, that last slide was, I guess, a bit confusing. One thing I was holding on to was the investment income. It had a negative $75,000. It looked to be troublesome to me. I was just wondering how. Now, the markets last year at this time were falling like a rock, but rebounded incredibly. And I think a lot of people on an individual basis did very well last year. So to see a loss in investment income for the year is kind of shocking.
Well, keep in mind, we're really restrictive in what we're able to invest in. We can't invest in the stock market. So we're doing things like commercial paper. Everything is very secure. And so when the pandemic hit last year, we had bonds that were being called right and left because the interest rates went down. They don't want to continue to pay us at a high rate when they can just turn around and borrow the money again at a lower rate. So we did see a lot of our bonds that we invested in were called. We are seeing a turnaround, though. So we're optimistic that this year will be better. What is a shame, if you recall, prior to 2008, we could easily make over $1 million in investment interest in a year. And then when the recession hit, we were just starting to climb back out of that hole, and then COVID came along. So we are, though, optimistic that it will turn around somewhat this year. But the biggest reason you're seeing the decline is the restrictiveness in the investments that we're allowed to participate in.
So I guess what I'm not hearing is there was no change in course based on this time last year that negatively impacted us.
No, no. We may have changed our strategy for investment. Whatever is paying the most, when our bonds are called and we have money to reinvest, we look at first how far out we want to extend ourselves, or do we want to just keep our investments in commercial paper, which can be 120 days, 180 days. And sometimes we just go with those temporarily to see what the market's going to do, see what the feds are going to do. And we make adjustments as quickly as we can.
Okay. The last question I have is, it was about this time last year, maybe in May, that we were talking about waiting to see how the year would go with, I don't recall if it was exactly income tax returns, but basically revenue, and with the pandemic and everything. Are we kind of through that wait and see, or is it still?
No, that's Section 29 of House Bill 197, and it's in the court system right now. We're awaiting some type of decision. Section 29 is repealed. We may be looking at issuing refunds for people that worked at home during the pandemic. We're also going to be impacted depending on the number of people that continue to work from home if the income tax structure remains the way it is. And it, unfortunately, it's just a wait and see. We have to see where the reports are going to fall on this issue, and also what's going to happen with DeWine after the emergency orders are lifted. So I don't have anything to report there. We're watching it. I actually have prepared a presentation. We went over it this week in the mayor's meeting, and last week in the mayor's meeting, and I've been on sending that out to council to give you a little more of an idea what the situation is and what the potential impact could be and what you can do as a council member to help by reaching out to some of your representatives.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, any other questions for Ms. Trimlin? Yes, Mr. Mosley.
Ms. Trimlin, I appreciate the job you do. As always, you do a really good job of keeping, you know, city administration as well as council in line when it comes to the financial front. Nothing but trust, nothing but, you know, integrity from you. You definitely know your stuff. So I appreciate the report. It's very clear. And just want to thank you.
Thanks.
Anyone else? Well, very good. Thank you very much, Ms. Strimlett. Too bad we can only do that once a year. But anyway, we appreciate it. And all the work that you have put in your team.
Thank you.
Anything for the good of the order this evening? All right. Seeing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. You're muted, Mr. Larson.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move we adjourn.
Very good. Mr. Larson moves.
Second.
And second, Mrs. Foy.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Very good. The Charter Review Committee will meet next Monday at 7 p.m. and City Council is adjourned until our next regular meeting on April 19th. Thank you, everyone, and have a great evening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.